like to call Bucksport Planning Board to order for Tuesday, December 6, 2016. Roll call.
Mary Jane Bush is absent. She called in. She won't be here tonight. Brian McDonald.
Yeah.
David Grant also absent. He called. Steve Fite.
Present.
Christopher Johnson.
Here.
George Stanson.
Here.
Robert Belcher.
Here. Okay. First order of business, second order. Review and acceptance of minutes of November 1st, 2016.
Move that the November 1st, 2016 minutes be approved as submitted.
Okay. Good. I got them here somewhere.
Jeff always does a marvelous job putting this all together.
It was an interesting meeting. I second that motion.
Any discussion, discrepancies? No? Okay. All in motion? All in favor? The motion? Chair has no report. Code enforcement officer's report.
No reports.
Well, let's see. As you recall, you held a public hearing on the revisions of proposed amendments to Appendix K, the land use ordinance. And there was actually no public in attendance, but there was considerable discussion on the amendments held by board members. And in the end, you voted to recommend that one specific provision of the proposed amendments not be approved by the town council. That was the change that would recognize public parking for both existing and new uses on Main Street properties. All the other changes, primarily changes to Section 10 of that ordinance that dealt with changes of use and how they're classified for review, were recommended for approval. The council received your recommendations, but they decided to go ahead and approve the entire amendments as prepared. So those were approved. They'll actually become effective on December 10th.
That's kind of surprising.
Well, there was nobody from the planning board there to explain. Okay. I didn't feel comfortable representing the board's position on that. I made some observations, but I didn't attempt to explain why you felt that one particular change was not a good change to make. But those changes, by the way, all came from the town council, so They considered your recommendations, but in the end decided that they wanted to approve it anyway.
Okay.
In terms of enforcement, I discovered there was a new business established on Heritage Park Road. It's a U-Haul business. No permit's been issued for that. That will be probably reviewed through my office as a change of use. It's on the Dean Hope property, which already has an insulated foundation form business, a fuel formulation design business.
Is that still there?
Yes.
So okay, that's in the back garage portion.
No, actually, it's in the front part of the building.
Oh, it is now.
The back garage is occupied by an automotive business. They do they install roof windows and heated seats, things like that, in vehicles. So they're still there. They started out to be a temporary business there, but they ended up being full-time.
Oh, okay.
I've already sent a letter out to the person who's operating the U-Haul business, but I have not received a reply yet to that. You probably all have seen the progress being made on Ledbetter's project down the street. I've actually received a couple of complaints or concerns about that project from neighbors on either side. The neighbor who has the multifamily building on the far side is worried about water runoff from that development ending up in his basement. He's met with the contractor, he's met with the owner, and I believe they've satisfied him that there's not going to be any risk of flooding on this property. They're going to make certain that any water runoff is going to go where it's supposed to go. That's to the storm drain.
They were here at the meeting, I believe.
No.
Different crew?
No, there were... There weren't any abutters, I think.
Yeah, well, there were two people here that questioned the water runoff.
Yeah,
it's two gentlemen.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was, they were up on...
behind that building.
On Hink Street, yeah. They were up.
So they were behind the
yeah, they were up the hill, too.
They were above the hill. That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Water doesn't hit the hill, does it?
No, not yet. To them,
There was we had a heavy rain here last week, and there was some minor flooding that took place. Of course, it's a construction site, so they don't have all the stormwater control features in place yet. But they put berms up to keep the water as much as possible off the neighbor's property. On the other side, there was a boundary issue there. The neighbor, actually, it was a tenant of the neighbor, the property owner, was concerned that Mr. Ledbetter was going to be cutting trees down there on their property. And these are screening trees. There's a whole row of them.
Right.
When you reviewed the application, you didn't specifically require any screening between that property and Ledbetter's property. I couldn't find any documentation of it. So Mr. Ledbetter decided, he was convinced the trees were on his property. He decided to take them down, and he did. He took them all down. The purpose of taking them down was to improve visibility of this property. He also, there was a large, I think it was either a spruce or pine tree, right at the corner of the property. He limbed that up quite a bit. It doesn't look very attractive, but again, he did that to improve the visibility.
I can see that out near the entrance exit, but the rest of that screen now I can't see. Improving visibility other than from that about his property.
So for whatever reason he decided to he didn't like them, he took them down.
Yeah. Well, we may still plant something back there. That was a nice row of trees.
You may have heard this or not, but Wilson Hall was vandalized a couple weeks ago. The temporary door that we put in to make it easy to get out of the building was smashed in. They destroyed the strike jam. They took a floodlight from inside there, but there was no damage done inside the building. So we had to replace the door, and we did that. It cost about $200 to do that. So the fund that was built up to help save Wilson Hall is being slowly depleted. There's probably less than $1,000 left now in that fund. I'm going to be meeting with some crane contractors to talk about the possibility of removing part of the tower, the upper roof that's held up at four posts, removing that part and then installing a temporary cap over what's left. The reason for that is because there's water is just pouring in. That roof is just full of holes. And there's no easy way to fix it without taking that upper roof off and putting another cap on. So the plan would be to cut that upper roof post, lift it up, set it to the ground, and then lift up the temporary roof and set it on top of the tower and secure it down in place. So I'm hoping to meet with them sometime this week to get some cost estimates to do that. Permitting is still a bit slow. Last month I only issued 13 building permits, and there's only one new home permit issued, so not a whole lot going on there. That's all I have tonight for my report.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Jeff a question. On that, I bet it's, there was a story going around that there was some problems with the drain. Is there any truth to that going under the road?
There's a storm drain that's roughly in the middle of the property at the front by the curb that has some sinking going on around it. Right. What's causing that is there's some old abandoned culverts that go into that drain that are failing. Actually, they're not in use right now, and they're collapsing. That's why the ground above it is collapsing. The contractor is going to be fixing that.
Okay. I was just wondering.
All the storm drains that are there now are functional.
Thank you.
The one that you're talking about, I think it actually drops directly down into the stream, the concrete channel, bridge. Well, it's actually a small bridge there.
It's surprising how much they built up that property. They've raised the elevation about 4 feet from what it was before.
Yeah, I see it's higher on the Littlefield apartment side. quite a bit higher. And yeah, I didn't know if they were going to do a retaining wall and a curb, because I see they got a fairly good sized tank platform.
Mm-hmm.
There, yeah.
Yeah. That whole corner
would drain today.
Actually, there's still some more filling to do there. So they'll be filling it more.
Up to a level of that.
Yeah. So, but I understand that they're hoping to have the building up and closed in before the first of the year, or shortly after, and work on in the inside through the winter.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Yep.
Do I need to come down? Mm-hmm. I did receive a phone call about the trees, the issue of the trees on the Ledbetter property, and they asked if there was concern that there was going to be more trimming of their trees all along that line by Mr. Ledbetter.
Can I ask her to identify herself?
Sorry, Linda Pluard.
Thank you.
Oh.
I think I received the call because of being on Conservation Committee, mainly, and they asked me if I could find that out for them. Of course, they were hoping that none of the trees would be cut, but I realized that I think had already happened. So does anybody know if any more of those trees are going to be limbed up or trimmed on their boundary?
I have no idea how much more of any trimming he's going to do. He may have already done what he planned to do.
Do they have any? If the trees are on their property, of course I understand, they may overlap. Do they have any recourse at all?
Who?
The property owners.
Well,
Mrs. Joost.
I think my understanding is they were going to have their own survey done of that line to be certain that Mr. Ledbetter's survey was correct.
I see.
And if they did and found out that it was incorrect, they certainly could pursue it legally if they mm-hmm. wanted to.
Okay. Does this group at any time let someone know that there's, you know, they've been approached and there's a concern? I don't know how that works. If you get a complaint like that, do you let the builder know that there's been a concern?
Mr. Ledbetter certainly was made aware of it, yes.
He was?
Yes, oh yes, from day one,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item five. Now is the opportunity for the public to address the board on matters related to land use or planning in the town of Bucksport, but not related to any business before the board tonight. So I declare the public forum open. And hearing none. Okay. Public forum is closed. Unfinished business, there is none. Item 7, application for approval of an outdoor recreation land use on Upper Long Pond Road, tax map 16, lot 21. The applicant proposes to construct a public recreational trail and parking area. The applicant is Great Pond Mountain Conservation Trust.
Is there a representative here for that application?
I don't believe she's here tonight. I think it was Jennifer Reflow was going to come and talk about it. That was my understanding. Mm-hmm. I, of course, will not be participating in this.
Are you on?
Do you want to speak for him?
No. No, I'm not prepared to speak for him on that.
No.
I'm surprised he's not here. I know they have a board meeting tonight, which I want you folks to know that I'm here instead of at the board meeting.
You want to set this aside for now? Maybe they'll arrive a little later on.
So when we're back at the end of the agenda.
Table.
Okay. Yeah.
A motion on that.
I move that we postpone review of this application until later.
I second.
Possibly later this evening or the next meeting.
I second the motion.
All in favor? Good. Okay. Okay. Administrative business. Review of draft letter to DEP proposing changes to dimensional standards for the downtown Shoreland District.
Have you all had a chance to review the letter?
Yes.
Yes.
So just to summarize, this letter is proposing that DEP accept changes that impact commercial and non-commercial uses in this Shoreland District, right now the downtown Shoreland District. Right now we have minimum lot size and minimum shorefront requirements for uses on each property, many of which are already non-conforming one way or another, so it makes it difficult, not impossible, for those properties to add more uses or expand the uses they have there now. So the proposal is to eliminate, in effect, those non-conformities by saying there's no lot size required, no shorefront required, no maximum lot coverage required. That makes it much easier for these properties then to expand their uses, increase the development. And what I've included is a fair amount of information to document the existing non-conformities and a list of items to justify the granting of those changes. There's one minor change that came to light just today in that list of 12 points I made about reasons why they should approve these changes. I mentioned that there were no historical resources that are located in the downtown district. That turns out to be inaccurate. There's one. There's the railroad station is on the National Register of Historic Places. So what I did is I made a slight change to the language there, which I'll read to you. I didn't make copies of it. I'll just read to you what I did.
Number 10.
I broke it out separately. So and number 11 now reads, number 10, there are no documented archaeological resources in the DTS district. And they added another one to address the historical one, which says that there is one historical resource in the DTS district, the Bucksport Rail Station, but further commercial development on Main Street will have no adverse impact to the property. So that makes a total of 13 reasons why these changes should be approved. Is there anything in this letter that you'd like to change or discuss?
I found it very, very well done and documented myself. But you have no idea if they'll go for this or not.
Well, there is a provision in the Shoreland guidelines that allows the DEP to consider something other than what the guidelines requires for dimensional standards if there's proper justification. So they've already done that once for the town of Bucksport back in 2010. When we adopted the ordinance we have now, we proposed less restrictive dimensional standards for lot size and shore frontage, and they agreed to them at the time. But as I said in my letter, it turns out that that's not good enough, and we need more than just a slight reduction in those standards. So I figured, well, let's just ask for everything to go away, and if they're uncomfortable with that, they may come back with a proposal to do something other than and a total elimination, but still something less than what we have now.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask Jeff, you and I have talked briefly about this. Two things. Why is this not coming from the town council instead of the planning board's one question? And I think we've had that discussion, but I'd like to have it on the record. And secondly, what would be the procedure following this acceptance by the planning board? What would be the next sequence going forward with that?
Well, to answer your first question, Chris, it could come from the council, but it just so happens in this case, the planning board is taking the initiative to start this, and it's perfectly fine for the planning board to do that because you have the authority to propose ordinances. So that's the angle that we're taking here, is that the planning board will first ask the question, If DEP approves it, then of course the town council will also have to approve the change before it can be implemented. So that's the next step, to answer your second question. If DEP agrees preliminarily to approve these changes, then an ordinance will be prepared. You will go through your review of that ordinance, hold a public hearing, and then pass on your recommendation to the town council, just as you did for the most recent change we had.
Will the town council be aware of this letter before it's sent?
I think they are already. There's at least one town councilor who has already seen the letter and commented on it. I suspect probably they'll all see it sooner rather than later.
Could we make sure that, I would really like to make sure they are aware of what we're doing. That would be why.
I don't believe there's anything on the council agenda for this Thursday's meeting about this letter.
You could just add it to the file. I just think it's good to have them understand what's going on, considering that the last vote recommendation we made, they rejected as far as that parking situation. So whether there's misunderstanding or miscommunication, I don't know, but I think it's always good to make sure that everybody knows what's going on.
The results of this, once it goes forward and stuff, will affect comprehensive plan?
It could. As a matter of fact, the chair of the Comprehensive Planning Committee is here this evening, who might be able to answer that question.
Okay.
Hi, Jeff Fitzgerald. Comprehensive Plan Chair. And so I did come to talk to Jeff today about the letter. He gave me a copy of it because we just happen to be on a similar topic. We're doing this coming Monday on the agenda will be the future land use plan, which it talks about some similar issues. And one of the things, I told Jeff I thought the letter was well written, and I'd be a little surprised if the DEP actually approved it this way, though. And so if, for the second round, I thought one of the options I thought was one of the things we're thinking about is you know, rezoning the downtown to... some of the issues we have is that you have a core of the downtown that's very densely developed. You have buildings right up to the property lines, right up to the street. You have no on-site parking for the most part. And probably you want to see that pattern be able to continue. But that pattern doesn't extend all the way down Main Street or all the way over to Route 1. It's pretty confined. So, I came up with a zone that I thought fit it pretty well. It goes from, Federal Street just to beyond Mechanic Street, beyond the post office, and both sides of Main Street. So that's bigger than the Shoreland Zone. Of course, the Shoreland Zone is just on the southern side of Main Street, but it shows where that development pattern currently exists in the town. And where I thought if you had a zone that more accurately defined that area where you can't provide on-site parking, then you could create ordinances that would use that zoning to say, well, this is where you can have developments without on-site parking. Elsewhere, you need to provide parking because that's the pattern that's out there already, and you don't want to overly strain the town parking lots by building. I mean, if you think about the far ends of Main Street and even toward Route 1 on Main Street, there's a lot more residential character out there, a lot more open space already out there. So if you're proposing to cover those lots 100% with impervious surface buildings out to the property lines, up to the main, that's a change in the character of the way it's developed right now. So
this addresses the riverside of Main Street. It has nothing to do with the other side of Main Street.
Yeah, I understand that, but if you just think about the shore side of Main Street. There's a lot of properties that are way under 100% developed, so that's why I think it would be the DEP may look at that and say there's red flags. We can't go for that. So what I'm saying is that Plan B may be to come back and say, we're going to confine our request to a smaller footprint that they may be able to see past and allow that. So. I thought that, you know, shows what we're doing with the comprehensive plan. Another thing is to have the comp plan in line with what the request is would also be helpful, you know, going forward on that, in order to back up the ordinance changes. Eventually, they do have to be in line, consistent with not only Maine law, but and as allowed by the DEP in this case, but also consistent within your own comp plan and your own ordinances have to be consistent. So that's why I'm paying attention to this, and thought you might like to know what we're working on too. So, any questions about what else you might do? All right.
Thank you.
Great idea. So any more comments on this particular thing? Mentioned that the town council should have a copy of this as soon as possible. But, I tend to agree with that. So I don't know what type of a motion to bring to this. So,
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we accept the letter as written and the
with the edited
changes. Yeah. Right. Thank you. And that members who support it will sign it and pass it. Direct Jeff to mail it to the DEP mailing address.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Good. Sign it.
So I have a copy here with the edits made to the list. So if you could just sign this copy and pass it around.
I'll sign George's.
Go ahead. Sorry. I did, Dave Grant, when he called, I asked him to comment on the letter, and he also agreed that it was written appropriately, and he will also be signing it. I'm not sure about Mary Jane. I didn't speak to her about the letter, but I will call her and ask her if she's okay with the letter, if she could come in and sign it as well, so we have all seven signatures on the letter.
Well, I think this goes a long ways towards maybe resolving some of the issues that come before us all the time about use of property down there on in that district. You know, right now, everybody's hands are tied. You can't do anything. And, of course, we suffer the consequences of not being able to do anything. And we kind of promised them at that general meeting we had, what, 6-8 months ago, that we would consider some changes to address their concerns, and I think this is a big step in that direction.
Thank you.
Yeah. It is.
I would hope, Mr. Chairman, that the publicity of this event or this thing would get out into the local press, and they would understand and show that we're not sitting here being anti-business, as they like to describe it, and that we are trying to promote a solution to the perceived difficulties that some of these folks have. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we do have a good team here. So, let's see. Where am I here?
Do you want to back up?
Huh?
Do you want to back up?
Chairman, may I make a comment on the agenda? The applicant from Great Pond Mountain is here now, but I think we can probably move the Friends of Silver Lake along. I just don't anticipate, from no knowledge of mine, that we can move that through before we go back to the Great Pond one. Because Linda Plord's here for Friends of Silver Lake, and Jennifer's here for the Great Pond Mountain Conservation Trust. And I'm just thinking the trust may take a little bit longer than the...
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, okay.
I don't know if I should be dictating anything. I'm just thinking we'll move it along.
Right in the moment, we'll go to 8B, review of letter from Friends of Silver Lake, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'm a member of the Friends of Silver Lake, and I'm not prepared to talk about that from my standpoint tonight. I don't know if Linda's prepared. I know Linda's here. I don't know if she was prepared. If there was a question about it, it went to the council. You have some background on that, right? And you go to the council, and they commented, reviewed it.
It was copied to the mayor, so that's why the council received it.
Okay. Somebody decided to put it on the agenda tonight.
Linda, I guess. Steve.
Well, Linda Plouard again, for Friends of Silver Lake. I'm just wanting to answer any questions you may have about the content of the letter. I understood from the enterprise that there was some question as to why it was written or whether any of us had attempted to go to the site review. And we did have a representative at the site review, at least one. And however, Don Houghton had not known that, apparently, and it was in the paper twice that we were interested, and we did have some concerns about erosion and runoff, this kind of thing. And of course, we're new, the Silver Lake group, and we're learning more and more about the risks of lake management, and we just really have some concerns about how speedily that the wood was clear cut. And, of course, about soil erosion and runoff. We understand that there have been measures taken, which we are trusting are substantial and will protect the lake in the future. Mostly, we just wanted to go on record as saying that we were a little bit concerned about this one, and we would like you to put extra thought into protecting that resource in the future. We're finding out more and more how delicate a balance it is. There are some lakes in the area that are already on an at-risk list.
Oh, yeah.
And this kind of thing. Alamoosuc is one of them. And so we just want to take every precaution we possibly can. Not really intending to find fault, although we do have a question or two about the permitting process. It was my understanding that those trees were cut before the permit was issued. Is that true?
Yes, those trees were cut, unfortunately, in violation of our shoreland standards.
Right.
I'm not sure it was intentional. I don't believe they understood that those trees had to be maintained.
Right.
And they are expected to replant. I'll be talking with the church in the spring or over the course of the winter to work out a plan for revegetation.
Right.
But that's basically down in the shoreland area.
It's at the northerly end of that property. There was an area there that was within the shoreland zone. It's an RP district, too, where you have to preserve the trees.
Resource.
There's some cutting allowed, but very little.
Right.
And they clear cut it, so yeah. They will be expected to revegetate with native vegetation, saplings at least 6 foot tall.
Right, and that's good.
And it's going to take a long time for it to come back.
Oh, right. Right. And I understand their wish to expand, and, that makes sense. But we do have concerns, and we're learning more all the time, so we just wanted to make that known.
Yeah. Their expansion now is limited to behind the shoreline, so on the higher up.
Yes.
So
that was explained to me. Right. I do understand that now.
And there will be, I think, a small pond takes a lot of the flow. Up by the parking area and stuff, but
so it was never our intention to be
clear cutting. Did a very good DEP best management practices as far as stabilizing the site once it was done, and it has held up very well. So. As long as they follow, there is a handbook and it changes fairly regularly. Most contractors have to have training in it every year. But follow the best management practices, the lake is going to be pretty well protected.
So erosion, runoff, those have been addressed more than adequately, I trust.
Yeah, the DEP sets minimum requirements, and they are...
And they've been consulted, so they have to be consulted in this kind of thing. Yes?
The contractor has to know exactly what to do.
I see.
He's trained to do it, and he's obligated to do it.
And it must be your job, sir, to check that, to see that he does it?
Yeah. Yes, I actually have been monitoring the site, and I have not seen any evidence of erosion taking place. I think the efforts they made to stabilize the site are working.
Good.
If they begin to fail, I'll certainly be notifying the church to let them know they need to take action to maintain that erosion control.
Right. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That was our concern, and appreciate your keeping a watch of the lake in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Any comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I know when we talked about this before, this particular application, I had mentioned that I thought that the town should be sending a certified letter to the contractor informing him of the violation of the shoreline zone and the resource protection. I don't know if the board determined that was necessary or whether there's any follow-up, but I think it's good management of business practices to make sure that you have that end sealed up. Whether the contractor was aware of it or not is never an excuse of being cutting in those zones, but I think it's incumbent upon the town to let the contractor know what happened in an official way.
I don't know how. You were fairly immediate on shutting that down, if
right.
I remember correctly.
I did address it when it came to my attention. It wasn't the property owner at the time I was talking with. It was a representative of the church who actually was responsible for beginning that project. He made the arrangements to hire the harvester and a local site contractor to do some groundwork. When he became aware of the land use issues, he immediately stopped, and we began to talk about what needed to be done from that point forward. He was always cooperative, and he was taking corrective actions. And when that happens, I'm not compelled to take a formal enforcement action against anybody. As long as I can get cooperation, that's the approach I prefer taking. And as far as I know, they're still cooperative, and they still plan on moving forward with the cemetery expansion project and doing all the site improvements that they said they would do when they came to you for approval. So that's my position.
Okay. So once they do start construction, it's just checking once before they did that they got their adequate silt erosion control protection up. That's all.
Because one reason for taking a formal enforcement action is to essentially attempt to force compliance.
Correct.
Because I'm not getting cooperation voluntarily. So when I do get voluntary cooperation, there's no need to take a formal enforcement action just for the sake of taking that action.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't know if Jeff was addressing my concern. I'm not talking about taking an enforcement action. I would like to think the town would be interested in letting the contractor know what happened in an official way that is part of the written record, that we have identified a violation. It's not enforcement, it's not even citing, it's just saying be aware that that was a violation.
When you arrived on site, that's pretty good notification.
Well, it's not in the record, I don't believe. Nothing's in the record about this, about what happened, as far as I can tell. As far as him knowing, do we know that he knows this for sure. Do we know that he won't check this again before he goes somewhere else and does a similar project? It might just, I'm just saying for the town's, you know, for the town's records, for the town's closing of this, for me, I would, if I were the town, I would want to make sure that there's an official, that there's a certified letter saying, please be aware, you've been, you know, you violated this, you haven't been cited, but you violated this when you did this, this, and this, and please be aware that you should check with the town before you do it again. And if that, if the board doesn't want to do that, it's fine, but that would be how I would finish it. A certified letter puts him on notice that he's been duly warned and...
Is there one or two contractors out there?
There was the harvester and there was the site contractor. There was two that I was aware of.
But actually, doesn't... Okay, so that'd be two citations.
I'm not talking about citations. I'm just talking about a certified letter letting them know.
Letter.
That's it.
Okay.
And saying, be aware that that was, you shouldn't have done that. It's done, it's over, and now we have in our record that the contractor's been officially notified of what happened, that's all. There's no citing, no further action.
DEP get involved at all, Jeff?
They were made aware of the issue. I don't think they were officially involved, though.
I mean, this is a significant violation. I just was curious whether or not they were concerned. They probably, as long as we were addressing it locally, they're...
Yes, that's their position. You know, if they feel that local enforcement is sufficient, then they stay away from it.
Yeah. So the violation was only in the shoreline area, which was already partially cleared. The violations were not on the west and upper side. That's it was strictly within the 250 feet. And I believe they're resolved. Contractors know when there's a stop order put on, and they don't need written confirmation, really. And
I think you're still confusing this with taking action. I'm not talking about taking action.
Action was taken.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just not talking. I'm just talking
take a picture
about
of it.
Sure that we have sent them due notice that they need to check with the maps of the code of the town of Bucksport before they proceed any future actions. And, you know, I'm ready to move on, because we got people here. But
how long ago was it clear cut?
A couple of years?
It's been a while.
It's been a year.
It's quite a while, yeah.
Yeah, you already reported it as a violation at one of the meetings we had long before
we saw this guy.
Asked to move. To enlarge the city.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Now we're going to move on to new business. Application for approval of an outdoor recreation land use on Upper Long Pond Road, tax map 16, lot 21. The applicant proposes to construct a public recreational trail and parking area. The applicant is Great Pond Mountain Conservation Trust. And
Jim?
Yes?
Because of my presence on the board of this group, I will not be voting on this, because I believe there's a bias issue there in that direction.
And if you believe you're biased,
I have to say I agree with you. Sorry, Monty. Thank you.
So I'm Jennifer Reifer, representing the Land Trust, and I apologize for being late. I thought the meeting started at 7.
We were at a board meeting.
I explained.
I guess it's up to you.
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
And then Reeve Clear, R-I-E. F is in Frank, L-E-R.
I guess you can make the presentation.
Okay. So, Great Bond Mountain Conservation Trust acquired this property last year from the Kimbles. We may not keep that name, by the way. We're debating making a name that's more geographic. But at the moment, it's called the Kimble property. And it's on the Upper Long Pond Road. And it's just before Colby Brook, just before the hill descends down to Colby Brook. And it does not go all the way down to the brook. It's probably 200 feet from the brook, so we're away from the buffer zone. And so it has, about a 5.5-acre blueberry field that's been managed by Allen's up till now, but we're taking that over at this point. And the rest of it is forest land, although there's a large beaver flowage that goes through the back side of the property that then goes into Colby Brook. And we got a grant to hire a local guy, Joe Ranzoni, this summer, to do a couple of things for us. So he laid out and created about just under a mile woods path through the property, and then also he has worked on a management plan. We haven't completed the management plan, but he's got a pretty good draft going. So we have cut that path with hand tools and a little bit of chainsaw and a little bit of earthwork. We have not publicized this property at all on our website. It was in the newsletter that we put it was donated to us, and that's it. That's all that's been out there. So we are hoping to acquire the site permit so that we could go ahead and put it on our website, put a map up, put signs up. We need to improve the parking right at the site. There's already a little road coming into the blueberry field and a couple of parking spots next to the old cellar hole, but they're pretty rough. So they need a little bit of help. Get an okay on opening up the woods trail, the woods path. And lastly, we're working on what to do about parking at times of year when you can't get in there, as well as for people who don't have super outbacks or something that can get in down that rough road. So I just have a note from Sherry about the parking situation. She spoke to two people this morning. She spoke to the former Berry Sledge Facility owners, the new owners, John DeVincenzo, and he was all enthusiastic about offering us some sites at his place, which is 0.7 miles from the property. And also, there's sort of a backup plan. It would be great if the town of Bucksport would let us potentially have a couple of winter sites at the sludge plant, you know, where the sludge operation is. And the reason for that is it plowed up till that point in the winter? Yeah. So for people who want to come in and snowshoe or ski or whatever they want to do, we were hoping that the town would allow for some seasonal, a couple of spaces of seasonal parking there for when there's snow on the ground and people can't get in.
I don't believe that's within our purview.
Okay. It looks like she may have talked to, I don't know. She said she talked to the insurance agent, and both of those parking spots can be within our insurance policy, if that's of any consideration. So who would be the people that would give the okay on the parking at the sludge plant?
The town council.
The town council. Okay. That's it.
So you'll at one point you'll have to make a determination on the number of parking spaces required based on the requirements in our ordinance. And you can have a discussion about where those parking spaces need to be located. If you feel that the spaces can be either all or partially located at the sludge site as they would like them to be, you can always make your decision on the permit conditional on the town council issuing their approval of the parking spaces at the sludge site. We'll get into that more as you do your review. I do not have a presentation for you on this property this evening like I typically do. I didn't feel comfortable going out Upper Long Pond Road to get to the property itself because I was concerned about the road conditions. So all you have to look at is what the applicant has given you for site plans and the trail location.
On the map, it says Santiago Blueberry Lands. There's, I guess, lot number 46-07. It's circled. So what you're planning on, the parcel that you're looking at, is that within that large plot? It says town of Buck.
No, that is our lot right there.
That's the sludge.
Yeah. Oh, you're looking at the sludge one. Okay,
no,
sorry.
There's one in the middle of the page.
Right. One in the middle of the page is us. Yeah. And then the brown one at the bottom is the sludge treatment facility.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Not a good place for hiking.
Right. So we're parking here.
And coming up that road. And
coming up.
This
is the old road here. Yeah. Getting up to here.
Okay. So right. Anybody that's gone up there knows how the road is after the sludge treatment facility, yeah? I don't know how many. Yeah. It's certainly drivable, but not by a Prius or a Focus or something. So we wanted to provide an alternative to people.
That's a town-owned road, is that correct?
It's up to the sludge site.
And beyond that, it's an abandoned road officially?
It's, I believe it's considered a public easement. The public has a right to use that road after the sludge site. And make improvements to it if they wish.
The bridge is really impassable at this point.
I don't really understand where the parking spaces that you're requesting are.
Oh, okay.
On Stonehouse Road or what?
No. If you come south... So find our property up there, Great Pond Mountain Conservation Trust, and then go south along the Upper Long Pond Road there, and you'll see Town of Bucks, says Town of Bucksport, and it's a brown-looking piece. I don't know if you can see color in that.
Yeah.
The number is 1607.
Yeah.
That's about where the road deteriorates after that.
Well, it's shorter from Stonehouse Road than from the...
You can't get there.
Yeah, there's no good parking possibilities.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Crossing Colby Brook's difficult.
Yeah, you don't want... Yeah. Colby Brook Bridge has deteriorated to the point where I don't even like to walk over it.
Yeah.
But coming from the south, you don't need to cross that bridge to get
there. No, you do not.
Correct.
That's
from the north.
I'm lost. I have no idea.
Yeah, why are you looking like this?
This is Colby Brook. Right up.
Yeah, I see that.
They don't want to go coming this way.
So, down here is Hancock Pond, up along Pond Road. The road's maintained up to the sludge treatment facility. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was,
I don't know if I have the screen angled correctly.
Culvert bridge put in on that road a couple years ago.
Yeah, there was a lot of work done over this one stream.
Yeah.
And then this is the sludge facility.
And tan?
The tan is, yep.
So you're extending.
Well, no, we were just requesting that a couple, two or three cars be able to park there when there's snow on the road.
No, you were talking, getting permission for parking there as town council. I want to know what work you're doing.
Oh, what we're doing. Oh, Oh, okay, that's our property up here.
Yeah, but you wanted parking spaces.
Well, we, okay, so what we have is we already have parking there. We have a...
How do you get there?
We drive.
Where? Up what road?
The same road.
Upper Bund Road.
Up along Pond
Road. Let's take a look at the...
Okay, yeah, it's only listed as a property line.
Oh,
here.
Right from,
oh, well, we that's how they show it.
Oh, here we go.
So, that's just how the tax...
So here's Upper Long Pond Road, right here.
Right.
Development
there.
This is Mass Hill Road, so the Upper Long Pond Road begins right here. It's following up here to the sledge site, town-owned property. From here down, this is public road. At this point, it becomes a public easement. So you're going to continue roughly almost a mile more to get to the Great Pond Mountain property, which is right here.
It's about 1.1 miles. So we
now,
already...
That stretch of a mile is passable...
My Outback doesn't handle it. My Subaru Outback.
Yeah.
But Prius wouldn't. You know, that's the difference, yeah. I would say.
A four-wheel drive Prius, Mike.
I don't know if there's a clearance, though. That's the big thing.
Are you planning to gravel?
No, we are not.
Or upgrade that portion?
No. The only thing we're planning on doing...
I mean, it's in an easement.
Right. We don't have the kind of funds to do that. What we can do is we have our blueberry field here, and Alan's is managing it, and there's a little driveway into it.
From where? Like,
from the Upper Long Pond.
Upper Long Pond Road, yeah. So
this is the Upper Long Pond.
People are using it.
Yeah, it used to go the whole way to Dedham.
That's what this line is.
Yeah.
So you drive along here, and you get to the top of the hill where our property starts, and we have a little road in, and... to the blueberry field, and there's a couple of, there's room for two or three people to park right there. It just needs some improvement. The culvert's kind of raised, and it would be, you know, a load of gravel would do a great deal of good right there. And that's all we're talking about. We're talking about on our own property, just improving our parking right at the site that's already there.
Oh, okay.
Then you go walk the trails.
And then go walk the trails.
What are the trails, marked in pink or what?
Yeah, so the trail, we started actually at the bottom here. There's an old woods road that comes in. And the trail comes like this, circles around, loops back to itself, and heads out. And it goes across the flowage. About, not quite a mile of footpath.
Well, I'm just referencing the pink outline. On there,
the pink outline. Okay, so Great Pond Mountain Conservation Trust, probably 3 years ago, commissioned Janet McMahon, who's a ecologist, to help us look at our sort of umbrella area of four towns, Dedham, Bucksport, Orland, and Verona Island, and help us think about what might be important focus areas of interest to the land trust, that if somebody came along like the Gimbels did and offered us a property in one of those areas, that we would be more likely to take that on, because there's costs involved with acquiring, even when you're given a property, there's significant costs involved. And so this Gimbel property happened to be in an area that we had looked at and said, this has got very interesting conservation value. Allen's has all the blueberry fields. The views are incredible. It's the old Santiago sediment. And sure, if we had an opportunity like we all of a sudden did of being offered this property, it made it even more desirable to us because we had already, as a land trust, identified this part of the county as being interesting and of conservation value. So that's all the pink means.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Want to see the trail
map? Oh, yeah, there's the trail map. So we'll branch out the Blueberry Trail, but this is an old woods road already. And this is just a little branch down so you can go look at the flowage. And then it circles around, and then Joe and I flagged an upper route coming back so there'd be a loop. And at this point, we do need to do a little more dirt work on, just by hand on this loop, because there's some side milling areas where the path is like this, and we need to level it out. But it would strictly be, you know, hand work, pneumatics and such.
Well, I don't know as we had to give down any permission to do all their trails up behind Miles Lane.
That, I believe, that predates our current land use ordinance.
It's only a few years ago.
2010.
In terms of managing our blueberry field, at this point, we are exploring options. We're simply going to be mowing it every other year for the moment. We have pulled it out of Alan's management. I doubt we're going to go try to manage it organically, but we're probably going to do some benign neglect management.
Pick your blueberries while you can.
And keep it open.
Selling jam or something? Fundraiser?
Yeah.
If you cook it, we'll sell it.
Yeah.
I got a couple rakes.
The view is really spectacular from the north.
Sure. God, I haven't been up there for years. I surveyed some property up there that extends down up on Long Pond years ago.
Okay.
But that road was still passable back then. Well, I guess it still is now.
If you come in from Moulton Pond, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make, too, is there's another way to get in the property that's a lot better condition than up along Pond Road. And that's coming in from the Moulton Pond Road, which is right here, comes in and starts to go up the hill, comes up to the blueberry fields, and I haven't traveled as far as I could on that road, but it goes down over the hill and still pretty good shape. I'm not sure how close it comes to your property.
It deteriorates. What happens is,
of course, you have the bridge here.
Still going to go across the
road. Down here, the road really deteriorates and it turns into great big swampy holes. And in fact, people aren't even driving through there anymore. There's a sort of a round loop people are using. But then you get to the bridge, and from that last September 30th storm last year, that really took care of that.
The bridge at Colby Brook, right?
The bridge at Colby Brook.
You
could pass it. You know, you're looking
at the
holes.
That's why I came the walkway through.
Oh, man, that's a shame.
So jump over the holes. That's passable.
Yeah, you rode. That's why it's the way it is. Thank you.
So we decided that wasn't an option for us because of the bridge and the poor condition of the road in the stretch.
Any more questions on the illustrations?
I'm just stymied. Doing a half-baked thing to get two or three parking spaces and no improvements to get there. I mean, are you coming back later to improve up at the Long Pond Road or not? If you want to do something, do it.
Well, this is a hiking trail. We don't own Upper Long Pond Road. And we own is just 65 acres. That's it. And we are an organization that creates trails and paths and allows hunting and fishing. And so I don't think we view it as our responsibility to improve a public access road. We just want to make the property available. There's lots of people that will drive right to here, including me. There are people who don't have Subaru Outbacks who would no doubt park here or at Barry's and then walk the 0.7 or 1 mile in because they're there for, you know, walking outdoor recreation anyhow.
So they just need a level 2 for the parking lot.
I don't see where it's...
I don't see why this is here.
I don't see why it's a problem for them. That road has been rough. That upper pond, Long Pond Road, has been like it is for 20 years. And people that want to get in there, we've all got in there. And the people that want to go in and use that trail are going to go in and use the trail, whether they walk in or drive in. I don't see that the condition of that public road, a public easement, as a
yeah, okay.
It's just a level two on the parking spaces, right?
No, this
or the trail.
The entire property improvement is subject to review. It's classified as.
This is what we've been waiting for. This is what we want to hear. What gives us standing? This is what we're all wondering.
I want to know.
It's an outdoor recreational facility. And that's a use that's allowed in the district where we're talking about, which is the R2 Moose Horns.
I didn't think hiking trails were.
Is it a facility?
This is the R2 Long Pond section, and let me show you in the ordinance. I usually do this every time I have a presentation, because I wasn't prepared to do a presentation tonight, but here it is. Outdoor recreation facility is a recognized land use in the ordinance, and we're in the R1 district, so that requires level 2 review.
Okay.
But what constitutes an outdoor? Is just walking trails a facility?
Hold on a second.
Definitions. Definitions in this case, I think.
I've gone through this, believe me.
I bet you have. This is why you get the big bucks, Jeff, to make us understand.
Spur of the moment.
We're getting a consultation out here.
Outdoor recreation facility, commercial or non-commercial facility, where a recreational, sporting, or amusement activity is offered to the public or membership. The use takes place primarily out of doors and may also involve buildings or other structures. A non-commercial facility may or may not require a spectator or participant fee. Related to merchandise sales or rentals may be an in-sale activity. Here's a list of examples, and including is recreational trail.
Okay. So it's a level 2 for the trail.
That's already been
done.
So
this is partially an after-the-fact review, right? The parking requirements have not been fully filled. That's going to be your call on what needs to be built for parking and where it needs to be located.
How do you size it?
We'll get to that when we get to that section when we're in this. There's a standard. There's a standard that applies. Right. So are you all okay now with the fact that you have to review this application? All right.
Move that we move to level 2 review immediately.
Yeah.
Second. Sure.